Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get up, get up, get up. It's a Get Up Show.
Well, here it is, and welcome to podcast number 17. Lucky number 17 is a winner. It's Sean and Charlie and Maddie from the Get Up Show on the Simon Says Podcast. Please like and share and do those things. Am I saying all the things that you say at the beginning of these? Is that it?
Like, rate, subscribe, all that stuff. Yes. 5-star reviews. Do it.
I never get that stuff right. But anyway, welcome to the podcast. We're so glad that you're with us. I wanted to talk about something kind of serious at the beginning, and it's not JoJo Siwa's hair down.
No, God, don't go there.
No ponytail.
What's happening?
Wow. She looks so different, man. I'm so glad she did that because I felt like she was tortured. I felt like she was being made to stay a child, you know? Like
well, she's 17, so yeah.
Yeah. It's like poor Ellie Mae Clampett, who they had in that tied-off shirt until she was 90. You know, poor thing. Let her grow old. Let her do her thing. But so, no, it's not that. It's about how people are dealing with the changes and the lockdown. And you know that people are sitting home by themselves dealing with depression, and they might not even know that that's what that is. And I don't know if you guys, because we don't talk about this kind of stuff, have dealt with depression, but I have. And it can change the entire way you think about everything in your life. It can take away your motivation to do anything in your life, to pick
Absolutely.
Up the telephone,
yeah.
to make yourself a meal, to walk out of the house, to wash your clothes, to do anything. It can take away so much from you. And it's so important to remember, when I say this, people sometimes look at me funny because at first it sounds like I'm dismissing it, but depression is not real. And what I mean by that, not that it isn't a real condition and not that what you feel when you have depression is not a real feeling, because it is, obviously, but what it makes you feel and the way that it makes your brain process is not real. It's a distortion of reality. And
right.
when you have those feelings of, I'm not worth making that phone call, or I'm not worth getting out of bed, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
Those are
or
not
no
real.
Or no one cares.
That's not real.
No.
And if you're feeling that way, that's not the real you. That's not the you that people love and care about. And when I realized that, and when I thought about it this way, it's almost like looking at everything in a funhouse mirror, and everything is warped, and everything is wrong, and everything is weird and out of shape. And that's what depression does.
Very much so. It's a similar condition to something like, you know, anorexia or something, to where people see themselves so very differently than the world sees them. And that's the same thing that depression does.
Yeah. And the quicker, I mean, it's not a fast thing, and it's not like it's a, oh, okay, I get it now. All better. I wish it worked that way. But if you can crack the door on it, and if you can start to recognize that it's not you, you're not bad, you're not worthless, you're not a problem, it's a chemical thing, and your brain is straight up lying to you about you. If you can grasp that and just hang on to that until you can find the right thing. For me, it was medication. I tried all of them. If you can name one, I bet you I took it, and I bet you I hated it. Mm-hmm. I had such bad side effects from probably 10 or 15 of them over the years until I finally got onto Wellbutrin. And after dealing with the side effects, it was like a light switch. And I don't know if you guys have dealt with any of that or if you take medication for that. We don't even have to talk about whether you do or not.
Oh, for sure.
I think that with people dealing with it, it's okay for us to talk about that because people out there are having this and it's really risen to the top now with people being alone so much. You can't go out and mask it, you know?
What's absolutely crazy is that, you know, we're in a profession where we get up and we do events. We used to do events and do things in front of crowds, you know, all sorts of people. We're going out to events and things. And I used to have just crippling anxiety when it came to that.
Yeah.
And it was the worst. Like, I would be up all night, like, freaking out and all this stuff until I finally got it figured out and dialed in. And yeah, it's amazing how something as simple as talking to someone and then realizing, oh, well, this isn't completely normal. Like, the idea that it's completely normal to be anxious about things, but it's not normal to have it devastate your life, you know, that kind of thing. Like, there was a slight imbalance. And so, yeah, I got on something and 100%, you know, turnaround. Now, does it still tweak out every once in a while? Oh, for sure. Like, I still am not a huge fan of large crowds and whatnot or strange situations. But that said, it's a lot better than it used to be.
I will say that, you know, for many years, I'm in a relationship now and live with my boyfriend and his son. But for many years, I lived by myself. And I am so grateful that something like this didn't happen during that time, because I'm not sure how I would have handled it. Just being alone all the time, nowhere to go, no people to see, you know, no events going on, nothing like that. So especially if you have friends like that, even if they've never battled depression that you know of before or anything like that, just give them a phone call. Just check on them. Just make sure that they know that you know they're there.
Absolutely. Because it can get worse and worse and worse. And it's such a lie. It's so fake and it's so made up by your brain. And it can make you think crazy things. Because if it ever gets to the point where you're at a place where you think it's not worth it to stay alive versus feeling this way, there's no way that's real. There's no way that's reality.
And it's never the better option.
And again, it's so funny, you know, that people don't realize how many people, and that's why I think it is good to say, like, you know, you say if you don't feel comfortable talking about it, like, I 100% do. And because, you know, I think it's important for people who do or are dealing with, you know, things like that to speak up, especially if you found some relief, to let other people know that they're not alone and there's a way to kind of get the word out on things, or, you know, you can find there are things that help it make it better.
And for some people, it's not. Oh, go ahead, sir.
Well, if you try to talk to somebody about it and maybe they kind of dismiss you, or they're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal, you're fine, whatever. Talk to somebody else. Find somebody who gets it and really will let you talk and get it out, because that will make you feel better.
And the thing about drugs, some people don't like to take medicine, just are against popping pills of any kind. Sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's going for a walk or cutting out certain grains. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can try that'll change that. So,
and also, I mean, just there's a big stigma sometimes on the idea of talking to a therapist or talking to somebody. And that I 100% am on board with that. You know, I had found somebody who I really like to talk to, and it's sometimes great to get a third person, you know, like a third party take on things. Because I would say something like, hey, this is going on and this is what I'm thinking. And they're like, but did you ever consider this? And you're like, oh my goodness, you're right. I never thought of whatever you said, you know.
Yeah, man. The thing is, you got to be careful, because there's varying degrees of those guys, just like any other profession. Like, you have plumbers who are just great and they come in and they do a great job and they leave and you never have to call them again. And you're like, man, that was a great plumber. Wow, that was worth the money. Yeah. Same thing with those guys. Over the course of my life, I don't know if I've ever really counted, but I've been to double digits of those guys. And some of them, when you walk in and you have your first meeting and they start writing on the yellow pad, you can say, oh, okay, this guy read the book. I know how this is going to go. And you start playing the dance with them, and you start telling them exactly what they want to hear so you can get through that 49 minutes so you can get out of there, because you know it's not going to be productive. You know, mm-hmm. Don't give up on that first guy, because true, there are a lot of them.
Yeah, that's 100% real, because I definitely, like, I went and saw somebody, and I even knew when I showed up to their office, and I'm not going to describe the situation just because it was in Greensboro, and it was very unique, but yeah. I knew right from the get-go, I'm like, this is probably not going to work for me. Stuck it out, did one, you know, and then I was like, well, let's move on. Let's make phone calls.
My regular doctor is even good at this stuff. I don't have anybody that I go and talk to right now. I had a guy who was cool, who hypnotized me and helped me get some sleep stuff going a while back. And he was cool, but he moved or whatever. But my regular go to the doctor is good at this stuff. You know, mm-hmm. he's not a shrink, but he listens and he responds and he has suggestions. He's just a cool guy to talk to. So even that, if you go to the doctor and they ask, tell them.
Yeah, my doctor's like that too. I love my doctor. I call him PC.
Definitely. I know that my one of my good friends, her OBGYN is like that. Like after she had had her son and everything, you know, and then so just she didn't realize that it wasn't really like postpartum. It was just stress and being overwhelmed and whatever. And he listened and was able to help her. And that's the thing, you know, that's kind of what they're not just there to see why your toe is bleeding. It's also, right. They know other things too.
Yeah. They're just ask you why all that glitter's down there.
It's on the washcloth.
Yeah. Right. I didn't know. So anyway, we're here, man. You know, it's a weird time, but you just heard all three of us say it. We've all been through it, and good God, I've been through it to where I didn't think I was going to get out the other side of it, but I'm here to tell you it gets better. It affects every part of your life, but when I say it's fake, it's not real, that doesn't mean what you're feeling, the way you feel is fake, but what it tells you about yourself, completely fake. Funhouse mirror. Remember, it's a funhouse mirror. Yeah. Don't believe it.
And it's especially like heightened now because of everything that's going on for sure.
Cheese and crackers. So yeah, Memorial Day is. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Let's move on.
Yeah, right on. Memorial Day is coming. It's going to be here in a minute. And it reminds me every time Memorial Day rolls around, I think about sitting in my cousin's car down at the dock listening to the Memorial Day 500, the best 500 rock songs of all time. We're counting them down all weekend. Gonna have the number one rock song of all time Monday at 11:50 p.m. Be sure you're listening. Don't miss one. You guys remember those, don't you?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we used to do all sorts of different, like, those weekends and whatnot when we were doing radio in D.C., for sure.
Oh, geez, but I'm talking about growing up listening to those on, like, FM 99 was the one that used to do it over on the Eastern Shore. We could pick them up out of Norfolk, and they would do it. And every year, you'd listen to it, and you'd hear all the classic rock, and you'd be like, oh, man, that is BS, man. They're number 49. That should be number 20, man, bro.
Right.
Man. And then every year, number one would be Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. It never changed. Why does it? They make new songs. Why does it never change?
God, that's classic, man. That's classic rock. If it wasn't Stairway to Heaven, it would be Sweet Home Alabama. I think those are the two. They would rotate. You know, one year Sweet Home Alabama, one year Stairway to Heaven. But, God, I miss that stuff, man. I miss those waiting for the number one song and, you know, waking up in the middle of the night to see where they were and stuff like that. You know, does anybody still do stuff like that?
I still have my VCR tapes that my aunt recorded for me of the top 100 videos from MTV the years of like when Bon Jovi was big and whatever. Those were, you know, she would record them for me because we didn't have MTV. So, but I'm sure people remember staying up on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, whatever, watching those to see what is the number one video of the year. What? Madonna Jeez. Again? You know?
Did you see the whole thing that someone had released online, like hours and hours and hours of MTV, like original MTV recording?
Oh, yeah.
What I mean by that is like just the, like someone had recorded on VHS, like hours of MTV and just released it. And now Viacom, who owns MTV, has come out trying to shut it down.
Really?
Which is such crap. Because, I mean, what does that hurt? What does that
hurt? Well, if they're not going to release it.
Do you know, I don't remember all that. I mean, I know I was there for it. But for some reason, that's like a blank spot in my brain tape. I know I was watching MTV quite a bit because I loved it. But, geez, it's like all of that stuff. I remember when MTV came out and how cool that was, and we all tried to dress like that. And then the next thing I remember about MTV was Beavis and Butthead. It's like a whole blip in there that's gone from my brain.
Wow.
I like that jump, though.
Yeah.
There was, you know what? There was a lot of stuff going on during that time, because that would have been, what, 80-something to 80-something to 90-something. There was a lot going on in there, man.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I just see, like I said, we didn't have MTV because we didn't have cable at my house. So anytime I went to my aunt and uncle's, to my friend's house, whatever, it was like you could find me glued to that television watching MTV. I was just so enamored by the whole thing.
So have you gone and watched some of these? Because we talked about this on the radio show the other day about how they're releasing content like years at a time worth of MTV content with all the original VJs and original videos as if you were back in that time. And we were talking about plopping down and watching like Spring Break 1987 or Headbangers Ball or any of that kind of stuff. Do you think it would hold up? Do you think you would sit there and stay with it if you tried to watch it now?
Yes.
Really?
Because it's so nostalgic to me. And a lot of those, you know, a lot of those old videos and stuff, it's just so nostalgic. And then I'm in one, so there's that.
All right, tell us that story.
Yeah, what?
I am in a music video that aired on Headbangers Ball and even had some friends from back home that were like, dude, we know we saw you. Is that you in that video? It's a band called Every Mother's Nightmare. Hmm. And they had a song called Love Can Make You Blind. And it was when I was in college in Memphis, and they shot it at one of the clubs we used to go to all the time. And I was right up by the stage, and I know exactly where I am in that video, like right after he lays down on the stage playing his guitar. You can see me hold my hands up right there, whatever. Yeah, I'm in a rock and roll music video.
So you were an original video vixen from back in the day?
Well, I don't know that I'd go that far, but I'm at the stage holding my hands up, rocking out to the band.
Intercom Communications legal constraints prevent us from playing the audio of Every Mother's Nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
But, oh, you know what? I have a similar story. Very similar story. Speaking of being in a rock video.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The group Hanson put out a movie called The Road to Albertine, which is like a tour movie.
Yeah.
A lot of hard rock and party scenes in that. And
oh, sure, I'll bet.
They did a press conference at the Planet Hollywood in Washington, D.C., at which I stood up and asked them a question. Welcome to Washington, Hanson Brothers. This is really a big day for all of your fans. Look at these people here who love you so much. This is no doubt the biggest day in these young people's lives. What will you say to these people to carry away with them? What do you think of the impact that you're having on these young people? Go ahead with your answer, please.
Wow, young, that's super deep.
And
when the movie came out, you see me stand up to ask them the question, but instead of my beautifully constructed question in my voice, you hear, what do you think of your fans and what do you want to say to them?
It's like the same thing, but so not.
So they overdubbed you.
Yeah.
Man, this guy's real wordy. Let's just get it straight to the point. That was a good.
Yeah. This douche here with the big hair, go ahead and cut him out. And, hey, Ronnie, get over here and say this. So I called my mom when the movie came out because they had told me, somebody from the label said, hey, man, you're in the movie. I was like, what? I'm in the movie? I never saw it. And I called my mom. I was like, hey, mom, I'm in a movie. She goes, you are? She went out and bought it. And she got it home and popped it into VRC. And it got to the part where I'm on there. She goes, well, I saw you on there, but that's not you talking. That's not your voice.
She knew.
Yeah. So there's my video story. Maddie, you got one?
I auditioned to be the MTV VJ that one time.
Oh, what? I went to that too.
Yeah, they did. I remember it was real big. They did one around here, and I can't remember it was because it was when I was working at 98.7 the first time.
And they did it at the train station.
Yes.
I was there.
Oh, no way.
What?
Get out of here.
Yeah. I think I did the overnight, and then I went right there and waited and waited and waited and waited and then got in for 2 seconds, and, you know, that was that.
Yeah, me and the Sky Shark from 106.5 The End, we drove up there and we stood there and it was cold.
Yep.
It was rainy. We stood there all day long and got almost up there and decided, screw this, we're out of here.
No way.
Didn't do the audition.
Weak. Come on, man.
I know, all that way
and stood in the rain.
I forget what the reason was. There was something about after we filled out the thing, we were like, I don't know if we were too old or what. There was something in there that made us go. I think it was, actually, because at that point I was like 28, and I think they were like, you could only be 25 and under or something like that.
Well, did they end up finding anybody here, or was that just part of the big...
No, the chick that they ended up picking was, she had been a Winston Cup girl and actually had dated Dale Earnhardt Jr. for a short period of time. I forget what her name was, but yeah, they picked a girl from here.
See, that's where my memory just, I blur things after a while. I thought that was the same year that they had that stupid Jesse Camp kid.
Oh, it was. Oh, my God.
Was it?
No, well, he won the whole thing, but they did auditions in different places.
Right. Okay. So there was somebody they took. So quote unquote, someone went to Hollywood, basically.
Yeah.
So
pretty much. Yeah.
All right. See, I
forgot about Jesse, man. I did a show with him somewhere one time. Yeah. Big tall guy.
Yeah.
That poor guy. He was so druggy.
Whatever happened to him?
Allegedly. Like,
the other one was Puck. Remember Puck?
Well, yeah.
I met Puck. Hung out with Puck a few times. He used to come to Myrtle Beach all the time.
Yeah, Puck was... I was on the phone with Puck trying to get him to come do a show because his management said he was impossible to deal with and he was not going to do a show. Next thing you know, I hear from Puck directly and he says, "Nah, man, don't talk to them. You want me to come? Here's what it costs." And he threw out a crazy figure. It was like, you know, $5,000 to get him to show up to do anything, plus first class travel and accommodations and everything. And then he went on to tell me that at that moment, he was somewhere climbing a mountain to go dig up ginseng roots and how much money he was making per backpack full of ginseng roots.
Yeah.
And that was how he was making his money at that time. And I was like, okay, hey, look, neat talking to you, Dave Puck. Thanks.
He actually, so there was a club in Myrtle Beach called Club Kryptonite, and they used to have some of those celebrities from the different MTV reality shows. They'd pay him to come in and hang out and whatever, and Puck used to come there all the time, and he actually was a pretty decent guy. We used to hang, he was pretty cool.
Who was, what was his name? Johnny Fairplay. Did you know he's from Greensboro?
No. I did not know that.
Yeah, he pops up every once in a while, or he used to. I remember we'd be hanging out at the corner down like Walker and Elam. And I remember one time he popped up in there, and I was like, oh, my God, it's what's his face? And someone was like, yeah, he's here all the time, blah, 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 blah. But
who is he?
Yeah, what's he famous for?
He was the guy who said his grandmother died on Survivor and to get everyone's sympathy and turned out she was alive. Like he was like one of the first reality show bad guys. Who
you know what
fell in his lane?
You know what I remember him for is there was some show full of idiots. It was like a reality show bad guy award show or something, and he ran out and jumped on Danny Bonaducci's back, and Danny Bonaducci flipped him over, and Johnny Fairplay landed on his teeth and broke all his teeth.
Yes,
that's the only thing I know about him.
I do remember that.
Bonaducci is a lunatic.
He's enormous too. Like that's the other thing. He's massive, like muscly massive. But yeah, that's a guy I wouldn't want to necessarily mess around with or be around just because of years of being a child actor and then everything that guy's seen.
Yeah, and I feel like you never know when he could flip. Yeah. Flip the switch.
Yeah, he probably never knows either. Here's something else that came up the other day was the story about the woman who had been seeing a guy. I don't think they're married, but I don't remember really. It doesn't matter the story. She discovered that his way of peeing was to crouch on top of the toilet seat.
All right.
Like standing. His feet are on the toilet seat.
Now,
and he's crouching on it.
Well, hold on. For when we talked about it on the air, you were saying that that's how he was going pee. We let it go just because we can't really get into it. But since it's the podcast, it's not what he was doing.
He's pooing. He wasn't peeing that way?
No, he was definitely going number two.
Oh, because, see, I have this whole thing about guys who sit down to pee. Because there was a movie with Gina Davis one time years ago where Gina Davis was a spy. I can't remember the name of it now. Gee whiz.
Long Kiss Goodnight?
Was it?
Was that the one with Samuel L. Jackson where she loses her memory? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the guy, Morse, I can't remember his last name. He's a great actor. The guy with the curly hair that was her her husband or her fiance in the movie. She woke up and she had no memory. And she said, well, that's the guy I'm engaged. We're engaged. And Samuel L. Jackson knew that that meant that they were going to kill each other, that they were spies who were engaged in battle. But she just knew the word engaged. So she thought they were going to get married. She said, I know everything about him. I know that he sits down to pee. And when I heard that, a bell went off in my head. I was like, a guy sits down to pee? Wait just a minute here. What does he know that I don't know? Then I did some research on this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is life-changing stuff. If guys are out there listening, if you've never done it, you need to do it. Because you don't realize the mess that you're making all over the place, wherever you go. You're a disgusting pig, and you're making a splattery mess all over everybody's house, and you have no respect for anything or anybody. Sit down to pee. Start doing it today. It doesn't make you less of a man, I promise.
Well, that's going to be weird at the urinal.
But those of us who have to clean the bathrooms in the house very much so would appreciate that.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on. Even Daniel Tosh says always sit down to pee. He also says always wipe. Don't matter if you did anything or not.
Huh. Well, I'm more on board with the second one. I generally will only sit down if it's like late at night or if I'm super drunk.
Good plan.
Yeah, because I've definitely done the stagger pee, and that's never a good thing. So
that goes everywhere.
Well, you're falling around, and then, you know, then,
dude,
then you're next thing you know, you're in the tub, and the shower curtain's all over you, and you're peeing still.
And you're still peeing this whole time.
Yeah, I mean.
But listen to me, man. It's just like a little bit of luxury. It's not an at work thing. When we go back to work, you wouldn't be doing that. But it's just, it's a little bit of me time every time.
So now, that said, are you saying you do kind of see where he was at, was squatting on the top of the toilet seat?
No way. That guy's a freak. Hell out of here. What's he thinking about? He needs to move back to the woods.
My favorite.
He's
was
thinking
that
about the unicorn that on the squatty potty that poops out ice cream.
Look.
If I don't care what that unicorn says.
Yeah.
No, man. That unicorn could go to hell. I ain't eating your ice cream, unicorn. I don't care what you say.
I like the fact that she described it as like he squats like Gollum from the Lord of the Rings movies. And that's the first thing that I pictured was this gray, like, fishy man squatting and like, ah, Precious, must use the toilet, Precious.
But they don't have correct boundaries in their life if she's watching this guy poop. They got to have a talk, man.
Yeah. Right. There's certain things that still, it's like, no, close the door. I don't need to know anything about that.
No, that's kind of we all know that it happens, and that's especially once you move in with somebody. It's like, look, we can acknowledge that we know what happens when this is happening, but we don't need to really get real into it. And not once in my life have I ever crossed that boundary of, hey, you mind if I hang out in here while you take a dump? It's like, that's never going to happen.
No,
plus, I don't even want to hear you say those words in a row. Come on, man. Go back. Edit that out.
No way.
Reverse that.
There's a thing called being too comfortable in a relationship. And I think that's where the line gets crossed, because you really start losing attractiveness and sexiness when you know everything.
When you see a guy with his feet on the toilet seat poop and you can't go back.
You cannot go back. How do you get all like, hey, baby, with that?
But even still, my favorite thing with that was that from that Reddit post, she said that it wasn't even that. She didn't mind that part as much. It was the fact that then he would take his bare toilet feet and put them on everything. Like, that's the part that grossed her out. And everyone else was like, you know, your phone is dirtier than that toilet seat.
It's in your house. It's not like it's a public one. It's in your house, so it should be fairly clean.
But then that's the thing. So she's upset about the fact that his toilet feet are on everything, not the fact that he squats on it like he's perched like a gargoyle waiting to protect this toilet.
Yeah, she doesn't read the news much, because here are some things, just a short list of things that are much dirtier than your toilet seat right now. Gas pump handles, kitchen sponges, money and credit cards, lemon and lime wedges, door handles, ATM buttons, computer keyboards, your phone, restaurant menus. As I said, that's a short list.
And I don't put my bare feet on many of those things.
Nah, not
Oh my
much,
gosh.
Man.
Speaking of lemon and lime wedges, are we ever going to be able to have those again?
No.
Nah,
never again.
They are out.
Ooh, here's another one that she's got a lot more stuff to worry about than his toilet feet getting in her bed. Your carpet is dirtier than a toilet seat.
How many times do you lay down on that?
Your saving the world reusable shopping bag has more fecal matter than any bathroom you've ever been in. The TV remote.
So if you're going to naked squat on anything, your toilet seat is probably the safe bet. Get off that TV remote and your grocery bag.
Yeah, and the ice in your drink.
What are you doing? I'm just getting this ice for you.
This is cleaner than the other way.
All right, well, I think we're just about at time.
Yes.
Listen, seriously, back to that stuff we were talking about earlier. Don't lay around and wallow in your own bad feelings, because you're better than that. Don't believe that mess, because it's not real. I promise. Leave us a message on the Simon line. Send us an email. Send us a Facebook post. Do something. Let us know you're out there. We answer all our messages because we ain't got nothing going on. We love you, all right? So just let us know.
And everyone else, take a minute to check on your friends and family members. Just, you know, shoot them a little, hey, you know, how are you dealing? How's this going kind of thing? You know, they need that. They need to hear from you.
Till next time. I think that's a good thing to leave everybody on.
Yeah, and sure. If anyone needs it, I've got the inflatable dinosaur suit for hugs at some point.
That'll make everybody happy.
Rip off. The arms ain't long enough, so don't set everybody up for failure on that. Next time, babies.
Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.